Man, oh, praise the Lord, church.
Amen.
And God has surely been good to us.
Yes.
I praise and I thank God again for Aliana's first birthday. God has surely been good to her.
Yes.
Blessing her with one full year of life. I know sometimes some of us, we act like 1 year old. Yeah, Ma. But hallelujah anyhow. I praise and thank God that I also had an opportunity to witness and to minister as Deacon Shane did. You know, working at the hotel, you come across a lot of different people from all different walks of life and from all kinds of different backgrounds and beliefs. But there was this one guy who checked into the hotel, and I didn't recognize him. But he came up to me and he said, "Do you remember me?" And I looked at him and I said, "No, I'm sorry. No, not really." And he said, "I was here last year." And when he said that, I recognized him and I remembered. Last year, when he came and checked into the hotel, he told us that he was stricken with stage 4 cancer. And we didn't know that. As he was leaving, checking out last year, I told him, "All right, we'll see you again next year." And he said, "Well, if I'm still alive, I'll be here next year." And before he left, I said, "You know what, sir? I'll say a prayer for you. I'll see you next year." Well, next year is this year, and lo and behold, he's still alive. He came, he brought his entire family. And in the span of that time, from last year to this year, he got saved. God saved his soul. The cancer, the tumor has shrunk.
Amen.
He has so much more life in him. He's happy. He's talking. And he's just constantly talking about God.
Amen.
Constantly talking about what God has done for him and all the things that he's brought him through. You see, sometimes it takes us getting to that place, to the point where there's no way out. Maybe sometimes it takes us getting to the place where you can't see a way out, where you've tried everything else, and everything else has failed.
Yes, that's right.
But he came to that place, and he realized that only Jesus could satisfy that longing in his soul. You know, God's still working on him, as God is still working on each and every one of us, and will continue to work on us until he comes. But I thank God that I got the opportunity, because he would come and he would talk story with me every single day. And we just share our faith. He shares about what the Lord is doing in his church. I share about what God is doing here in this church. I invited him to church here, but he had made previous commitments to go to another church. I said, "Hey, that's fine. As long as you're in a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled church, that's all that matters." And he said, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord." But I thank God for opportunities such as that. Opportunities that we have to minister and to witness and to uplift one another in the faith. I thank God for what he is continuing to do in my life. You know, word travels fast. Everybody outside, they call me Kihara. I was like, "Oh, Kihara, I heard you on Pastor." I said, "Hallelujah." Church starts promptly at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. But word travels fast, and I was sharing with the men that, man, if I thought I was under a microscope before, now I stay on the one telescope that's up on Mauna Kea now. All eyes is on me.
Yeah.
And all eyes on me. Everybody watching. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Yeah? How are you going to react in this situation and that situation? And you know, sometimes it can be looked at as a burden. Everybody watching. Yeah, good. Let everybody watch. Let them see what God doing in me, because it ain't Kavika. It's all God. It's all God. Well, hallelujah. I just praise and thank him. I can't help, you know, my drives to work, I listen to a lot of T.D. Jakes on my phone, and I listen to a lot of worship music. So if you guys ever like one worship concert, just call me. I put you on speaker when I drive into church. I drive into work. I sing the whole way. My throat's sore when I go work. But as I was driving to work and I was just meditating on the Lord, I started thinking about how His Word says that He searches for His worshipers. He seeks out the true worshipers. And I was meditating on that and I said, you know what, Lord, look no further. Look no further. Because a true worshiper is right here. And I just opened up my mouth and I just started praising God. And I started giving Him the glory. And I started giving Him the praise. I started worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And I mean, I just felt just whatever weight that may have been weighing me down, man, everything just fell off. I felt good. I felt the Holy Ghost at work in my car.
Amen.
Man, I tell you, man, you don't have to come to church to have church. You can have church in your car. You can have church in your room. You can have church with your family. You can have church all by yourself. Amen. But I just thank God because He's been so good to me. And He's continuing on blessing me and helping me and leading, guiding, and directing me. And I just can't help but to give Him all the praise.
Amen.
Amen. If you got your Bibles, would you open up and turn with me? We're in the book of John. John chapter 4. I hope you guys don't mind. We're going to read a little bit. Verses 1 through 24. John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 24. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We've all heard the story. But let's read it once more. Shall we rise for the reading of the word this morning? Amen. I'm reading from the King James. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And He must needs go through Samaria. And He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water,
Hallelujah.
Springing up into everlasting life.
Yeah.
The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, I yield to You this morning. I ask, O God, that You would guide my lips, that You would touch my tongue, that no word would proceed out of my mouth that was not sent directly from You. I submit and surrender unto You this morning. May Your word and Your word only go forth. Father God, I ask, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be in this place, to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, that as Your word go forth, it would go forth in such a way that it would give clarity, that we would grow thereby. Father, that we would hide Your word in our hearts, that we would not sin against You, Lord God. Father, give us an ear to hear Your voice, Father. Lord, speak for Thy servant here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The title of the message this morning, and I won't take up too much time, but the title of the message this morning is, Are You Thirsty? Are you thirsty? Turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you thirsty? If you came to church thirsty, then God's got something for you to drink this morning. I said, if you came to church thirsty, then God's got something for you to drink this morning. If you came to church thirsty, get ready to be blessed and get ready to be filled. Because the Bible says that blessed are they which do hunger and what?
Thirst.
After righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is there anybody thirsty here this morning?
Yeah.
Is there anybody thirsty here this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody need a drink this morning?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that really needs a drink this morning? Is there anybody that needs a dose of living water to saturate your soul and your spirit this morning? If that's you, would you just give God a quick praise? Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're so good. Hallelujah. I want to talk this morning, just for a little bit, about the importance of water. Water is, it's a very important and precious commodity. If you look back to all the ancient civilizations, all of them are built around a steady flow and supply of water. Most of them in the form of rivers. Now, Mesopotamia, which is the earliest known civilization, or one of the earliest known civilizations, was founded between two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. Egypt, we all know, is founded upon the Nile River. China has the Yellow River. See, wherever there is a good supply of water, life flourishes. Wherever there is a good supply of water, hallelujah. You see how God worked? Thank you, Jesus. Wherever there is a good and steady supply of water, life flourishes. Water is necessary for crops to grow. Water is necessary for cattle and then livestock and sheep and goats and all manner of other animals to survive. Water is necessary for humans to survive. Your body is made up of about 60% water. You can go weeks without food, but the average human can only last 3 days without water. Water is essential for life. Water is essential for life. Water affects every aspect of life. Water affects you. Water affects your family. Water affects your finances. Water affects your health. Without water, everything falls apart. Without water, everything shrivels up and dies. No wonder the Lord is referred to as the fountain of living waters. No wonder he's compared to that. No wonder he's referred to that, because just as water is required for life to flourish, Christ is required for life to flourish, church. Christ is required for life to flourish. Just as water affects every aspect of your life, Christ affects every aspect of all life. Just as water is necessary for us to survive, Christ is necessary for us to survive. Amen? Amen. Christ is necessary. Christ is the living water. See, without Christ, the family falls apart. Without Christ, the finances falls apart. Without Christ, the marriage falls apart. Without Christ, relationships fall apart. If you are not founded on this steady, endless, everlasting supply of living water, you will not make it. I promise. You will not make it. Your life will come apart at the seams. For just as we need water to survive, church, we need Jesus.
Amen.
To survive.
Hallelujah.
We need Jesus to survive. See, but the thing about it is, you've got to have a thirst for Him.
That's right.
You've got to have a thirst for Jesus that nothing and no one else can satisfy until you've had a drink of Him. See, that's why the Bible says that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. He said, if you thirst for me, then I'll give you a drink. If you thirst for me, I'll give you a drink. And this water that I got is so good that you'll never thirst again.
Yeah.
The water I got is so good, it'll make you forget the taste of all those things that you used to thirst for. It'll cause you to forget the taste of drugs. It'll cause you to forget the taste of alcohol. It'll cause you to forget the taste of all these different things. It'll cause you to forget all the men, all the women, the power, the position, the possessions. But it's just not those ungodly things that people thirst for, because some Christians, quote unquote, some Christians don't thirst for God. They thirst for blessings. They thirst for the benefits of knowing God. Instead of thirsting for Him Himself, they thirst for the gift and not for the giver. They thirst for man's approval, not for God's approval. And the thing about thirsting for all these things is that no matter how much of them you drink, the thirst is never truly quenched. It's never truly quenched. But Jesus is right there on the side. He's right there on the side saying, I got what you need.
Amen.
I got what you need. I know you're thirsty. I see you thirsting. But you've been thirsting after the wrong stuff. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He said, if you create the demand, I'll give you the supply.
Yeah.
If you create the demand, I'll give you the supply. You gotta want the water, church. You've gotta desire the water, church. You've gotta long for the water. You've gotta yearn for the water. For in your need, God will supply.
Hallelujah.
In your need, God will supply. That's why His name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord my provider. He provides for me. And He provided that all-sufficient, thirst-quenching, living water. That no matter what you may have been drinking of, when you drink of this water, when you drink of His water, no matter what, you will taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
You will taste and see that the Lord is good. Again, is there anybody thirsty here this morning?
Yeah.
Is there anybody thirsty here this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, God's got something for you to drink. Hallelujah. Again, our text says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples. You see how people can just hear one thing and just take it way and blow it way out of proportion? Huh? People talk, I promise. I hear it every day. People talk, and people were talking about, oh man, this man Jesus, he's preaching and he's baptizing more people than John. They turned it into a competition between John and Jesus. And Jesus himself wasn't even the one baptizing. But that's what they heard. And of course, what they hear, that's the first thing they're going to talk about. So when Jesus heard this, the Bible says that he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, I just want to talk about real quick about this, because I had never really seen this before. I mean, I've read this passage, we all have, many times over. But I didn't see this before. And when the Lord showed me, I mean, it kind of blew my mind, really. Now, Jesus had it set in his mind that he was going to leave Judea. He was going to leave Judea and go into Galilee. His mind was made up. His destination set. He plugged it into his GPS, and it said that he must needs go through Samaria. Say that with me. He must needs go through Samaria. Say it again. And he must needs go through Samaria. Amen. Now, Samaria was not a place that was particularly liked by the Jews. At one point in time, Samaria fell into the hands of the Assyrians, as we all know, and many captured Jews were carried away into Assyria. And during this time, foreigners were brought in to help settle the land and to help keep the peace. But in this time, the intermarriage of these foreigners with the remaining Jews resulted in a mixed race, impure in the eyes of quote-unquote pure Jews, because they felt like this mixed race betrayed their nation and betrayed their people. Samaritans were quite literally hated by the Jews, who did everything they could to avoid traveling through Samaria. It didn't matter how much longer it took. It didn't matter how big of a hassle it was. They would not go through Samaria. They refused to go through Samaria. They would rather travel hundreds and hundreds of miles around instead of going through Samaria. And yet the word says that Jesus must needs go through Samaria. In the Amplified Bible, it says that he had to go. He had to go through Samaria in order to reach his destination. And that's what the Lord told me. He said, in order for you to get to where you want to go, you're going to have to go through some stuff. You're going to have to go through something. You're not going to be able to avoid it. You're not going to be able to take a detour or a shortcut. You're going to need to go through it. No matter how painful, no matter how hurtful, no matter how challenging it is, no matter how hard it is, you've got to have faith enough to say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. You've got to have faith enough to say that it's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You've got to have enough faith to say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing about God, is that he'll never cause you to go through anything alone. He'll never cause you to go through anything alone. He's right there by your side every step of the way, taking you through it. Amen. Again, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You're going to need to go through some stuff, church.
Amen.
You're going to need to go through some stuff. If you want promotion, you got to go through some stuff. If you want progress, then you've got to go through some stuff. If you want a drink, if you want a drink this morning, you might have to go through some stuff. But are you thirsty enough to go through it? Are you thirsty enough to say, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him? And having done all to stand, I will stand therefore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You got to have the faith to say, hey, if God brought me to it, he'll bring me through it.
Amen.
Are you thirsty enough to go through it? Our text says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now in those days, as well as today, wells were very important and extremely important. They were a source of water from which people would draw twice a day in these Bible times. Twice a day, morning and evening, women would come to the well to draw water. Every day, doing the same thing. Every day, going to the same place to get what you needed to make it through another day. Until you run out. And until you need to go back and draw water again. Does that sound familiar for anybody here this morning? Does that sound familiar to you? Is there anybody that can relate to that? Is there anybody that ever had to go back to the same place every day to draw from a well waters to quench a thirst that could not be satisfied?
Yes.
Oh, it may last for a day. It may last for a day, but on the morrow, you'll find yourself thirsting again and again going back to the same well from which to draw water from. You go back to the same well every single day. And at the well, you draw water. For some, maybe it was the well of drugs. Drugs and alcohol. Or maybe it was at the well of fornication. Or maybe it was at the well of popularity. Or maybe the well of influence. Or how about the well of lies and deceit? Or how about the wells of cheating and manipulating? But what I love about this text is that it says, and Jesus sat thus on the well. Jesus sat thus on the well. And in verse 7 it says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. She was coming to draw water from the same old well that she would always draw from. But on this particular day, she found Jesus sitting on her well. And this is why I love the Holy Spirit, because when he gives revelation, man, it just hits you like a bag of bricks, man. Jesus was sitting on the well. It was a well sitting on a well. It was a well sitting on the well. It was the spiritual well sitting on the physical well. It was the well of living water sitting on a well comprised of rainwater and dew. The woman had no idea that she was showing up on two wells that morning. She had no idea that she would be confronted with two different wells. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus met her at the well she would always draw from. The same old well she would go to every single day to draw water. Jesus met her at that same well. Has that ever happened to anybody? Has it ever happened to anybody? Have you ever rolled up to your well expecting to draw water from it? Have you ever expected to drink one more time? Sakuma. One more time. Have you ever expected to go to your well, draw from it, and light them up one more time? Or to go to your well, to lay with somebody else again. But then there's Jesus. There's Jesus sitting on your well. There's the well of living waters. Hallelujah. Sitting upon your well. Talking about whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Hallelujah. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water. Shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Amen.
He said, you're thirsty for the wrong stuff. You're drawing from the wrong well. If you keep drinking of this water, you'll continue to drink from it, because after a while, the thirst will return. The thirst is going to come back, causing you to yearn for the water, causing you to yearn to drink again for something that cannot be quenched, a thirst that cannot be quenched. No wonder I used to always suck them up every time. No wonder why I kept smoking. No wonder why I kept shacking up. As long as I drank of this water, I'd thirst again.
That's right.
And Jesus is like, why don't you try some of what I got? Why don't you taste and see that the Lord is good? Why don't you taste and see that the Lord is good? Why don't you try me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it?
Yes.
He said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him. The water that I shall give him shall be in him. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. See, that's why now I'll never thirst again. Because you see, now the well is in me. The well is in me. That's why I'll never go back to that same old well. Because the new well is now in me. That's why the Bible says, out of your belly, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Because the water is now in you. Christ has put the well in you. But you've got to be thirsty.
Amen.
You've got to be thirsty for this water.
Hallelujah.
You've got to be thirsty for this water. And if you thirst for it, you'll be able to draw living water from the well who sat upon the well. That well of living waters. That well of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That well that sat upon the well. Now I'm going to tell you how to draw from this water. I'll tell you how to draw from this well, and I'm going to close with that. Turn to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. You guys don't need to stand up for us to read this one. Don't worry. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3. Therefore with joy Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. If you recall in our text in John chapter 4 that we read, the woman said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." Well, Isaiah just told us, he just told us that it is with joy. It is with joy that we draw from the waters of salvation. Meaning, joy is the bucket. Joy is the bucket with which we draw this living water. Joy is the tool. Joy is the catalyst. Joy is the delivery system that calls out of the spirit world into the natural. Joy is what we draw with. It's what we draw from the wells of salvation. And when I think about all that Jesus Christ has done for me, when I think about all the stuff that He's brought me through, when I think about all the things that He's done for me, all the times that He's provided, all the stuff that He delivered me from, all the times that He strengthened me by His Word, all the times that I found myself at my wit's end, and He said, "Trust in Me and lean not on thine own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Me and I will direct your path." All the times when I couldn't see a way out, and He said, "Stop looking for the way out, because I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look to Me. Look to Me, and I'll lead you out." All those times, I think back on all that, and joy just overtakes my mind. Joy just overtakes my heart. Joy just overtakes my spirit. And I can't help but worship and praise God for all that He has done for me. Verse 4 in Isaiah chapter 12, "And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among His people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." If you want to draw waters out of the well of salvation, then use joy. And when joy overtakes your mind, open up your mouth and give God the praise that He deserves. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let Him know that it was Him and not you, that it was Him and not her, that it was Him and not anything else, but only Him. Give God the praise He deserves. Because when the praises go up, blessings come down. When the praises go up, the anointing comes down. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people.
Amen.
God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
In spirit and in truth. You cannot worship God in the flesh, for flesh cannot glory in His presence.
Right.
You gotta be in the spirit. You gotta crucify your flesh. You gotta put to death the old man and put on the new. You gotta walk away from some stuff. You gotta stop hanging around with some people.
Yeah.
You gotta stop doing some things. Because then when you put off the old, God can put on the new.
Yeah.
And when you open up your mouth and give God the praise, that joy that you use to draw from the wells of salvation, when you open up your mouth and give God the praise, while your mouth is open praising Him, He'll pour that water into you.
Amen.
Give God the praise He deserves. Because it is with joy that we draw from the wells of salvation. And that well of salvation is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Again, is there anybody thirsty here this morning?
Hallelujah.
Is there anybody thirsty here this morning? If you're thirsty, would you just raise your hands and just for a few seconds, just magnify and praise the name of Jesus. Just lift up His name on high. Honor Him and glorify Him with your words. Let Him know how good He is in you. Thank Him for all the stuff that He's brought you through. Thank Him for all the stuff that He's delivered you from. Thank Him for all the stuff that He's provided. Thank you for the times. Thank Him for the times that He's healed your body. Thank Him for saving your soul. Thank you for the finished work of Calvary. Thank you for his body that was broken for you and his blood that was shed for you. Thank you for dying in our place. For then in his death, he took our place, took upon himself the sins of the world. But on the third day, he was risen and now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. In order to draw from this living water, in order to draw from the wells of salvation, you've got to open up your mouth and give God the praise. You've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Not for this worrying about what people think about you. Not about this what you look like. Not being shamed. Not being shamed. Because I tell you what, Jesus wasn't shamed to go to the cross and die for you. Just like Deacon said, if we deny him, he'll deny us. But you just got to worship him. Worship him. Give God the praise that he deserves. Auntie Mara, can we sing that song? I worship you, O God. My heart wants to confess. You just gotta drink. You just gotta drink, church. Take that living water and let it flow out from you and catch someone else out there. When people see how you worship, John, when people see how you worship, you encourage our worship. When we see you worship, Shaden, it encourages our worship. It causes us to take our worship to the next level because we want to experience that same kind of thing that you experience. Every time you worship God in spirit and in truth, you're having a one-on-one personal experience with God. Don't be ashamed, church.
Amen.
Don't be ashamed. Give God the praise he deserves. In Jesus' name, amen.